Well, Father, thank you so much for all that you're doing through Alison today. And we pray right now again that you would strengthen her voice, fill her with your Holy Spirit. Lord, bring your word to us through her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Right. Your ideas, please. Time is running out. Good. That's a good one, Helen. Yeah. That's good. Divine appointment. Explain, Elena. Yes. Okay, so time. Yeah. Okay, great. Yes. Say it again. Oh, right. Every grain of sand that goes through. Yes. Oh, I like that. Yes. God keeps perfect time. Okay. They're all good, but it's not right. they're all right. This is getting back to blessed to be a blessing. The blessings are pouring in, but they're also going out, okay? And we've always got to remember that. Where's the outlet? Are we moving out? Are we letting what God has so graciously given us? We are so privileged in this world.
Abraham at the thin point?
Every person, God looks for a person. Thank you, George. He looked for Abraham and he poured his blessing in and the blessing came out. And at every juncture, he finds a man or a woman or a church that's willing to have blessing in, but also blessing out. Okay, that's it. So now we come to the great imbalance. And my change is gone. Oh, here it is. Okay. And we've got to Acts now. The two tasks of Acts 1:8. So on one side we've got Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria. On the other side we've got ends of the earth. Now the question is, did Jesus mean this to be progressive? Did he mean it to be some churches concentrate on Jerusalem, some churches can go to Judea, and others can step across to Samaria? Or what did he mean when he gave us this? Yes. Yes. Yeah, there are diagrams like that, and they're good. But how do you know when to move from one concentric circle to the next? Well, this is a discussion, really. But what I think is that it's not progressive. Jesus never said how big a church had to be before it started outreach of any kind or missions, overseas missions. We're for our Jerusalem, we're for our Judea. Where would our Judea be? Here. County Durham. In the villages, can I say a word for the villages? Yes, and where would Samaria be?
Sunderland.
Sunderland. The half Durhamites. Yeah, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we are going for all of them, all the time. Okay, so go to the nations, the Lord said, and I will give you Durham. Go to Durham and I'll give you the nations. Yes, it's all the time. But we want to go to those who are not reached. And the question is, who are they? Who are the unreached? They've never heard the gospel. They've never had an opportunity to hear the gospel. And I would also say that they do not have scripture in their own language either. And I just looked up with Stephen, from Wycliffe Bible Society, 704 languages have the full Bible. That's not so many. 3,883 do not have a Bible in their own language. 3,883. One in five people living in our world are still waiting for a Bible in their own language. That's hard for us to understand. We who have English and all the 20 or 30 versions that we can go to. There is still a long way to go. These are the unreached. One definition would be a people group without an indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize their own people without outside assistance. And then, another one is people without a church in their own language and of their own culture. But that's not the total answer, which we'll be seeing in a minute. Yeah. Here we are, Stephen. I had it on here. One in five people still wait for the Bible in their own language. 7,378 languages spoken in the world. 2,800 and something languages have active translations which are going on now. Teams that are working on them. And 1,582 languages have the complete New Testament. 707 languages have the Bible. So it's still an enormous job to do, actually, to get the scriptures translated. So that's who the unreached are. And now we are going to discuss, where are they? Who knows what this is? Yes?
The longitudinal, latitudinal thing on the world.
That was my very, can you tell I'm not joking? So basically this is an area of the world defined by its degrees in relation to the equator and the world as a whole, which is and inside it contains the majority of the unreached people groups in the world.
Yes. In about the year 2000, Lewis Bush, who is a South American, wonderful man actually, George and I had the privilege of travelling with him and his wife in Central Asia for a week, and it was very wonderful. But he came up with this concept. He was looking at his computer. It's the 1040 parallels. And he was looking at it, and he said to his wife, "This is the box." And she said, "No, it's not a box, it's a window." And... And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? So this is the 1040 window, and we're going to be learning facts about that. It's 37 countries in that window, 6 billion people, 61% of the world's population live in this window. It's home to the poorest of the poor, live on less than a dollar a day. Yeah, 97% of the least evangelized countries are in this window. 1.1 billion Muslims, 1 billion Hindus, and millions of 600 million Buddhists. Sorry, I can't read. Top 80 least evangelized megacities, that's cities that are over 1 million, are in this region. And the poor are the lost, and the lost are the poor. Because poverty and not knowing Jesus actually go together. So this is where most of these people live. That's not to say there are countries outside of this that are also not evangelized. But this is where the world's most least evangelized people live. And we can think of it as major blocks of unreached people. Hindus, Buddhists, Muslim, and tribal have been broken down into these four main anti-Christian religions. Or if you like to think of it another way, with the tasks that we have to do, evangelizing, we start with the Christians. It says 1.9 billion there, but there's millions and millions of people who call themselves Christians who are not Christians. So why not start with them? Jesus loves them as much as he loves a Muslim. So reaching out to the 2.2 billion non-Christians that we might have contact with of some kind or know about. But we need to know more about the 2 billion that are completely unreached. The secular religions, what are they, would you say? Pardon? Yes, all the isms, really, isn't it? Humanism, yes. And all the other isms, New Age, secular religions. This is the major task of the church for today, is to reach these people. And today, only 10% of all missionaries are actively engaged in evangelism amongst these unreached people. So that's something that we need to take into consideration as well. I'm not a cyclist these days, and it's a very dangerous, but there's new laws just come in, hasn't there, about for cyclists. Can you see me? Is often a question that when you're in your mind as you bike through heavy traffic. And we can have people blindness as well. There can be people right amongst us, living in our communities, that we don't see. And I can't read that at all, so if someone can you read it, Aklin, please? Oh, you can just shout out. That's okay.
Well, it's for the Zoomy guys.
Okay.
Okay, so people blindness is what prevents us from noticing the subgroups within a country.
Do you understand what that means? So, for example, do we actually know how many non-British white people live in Durham? And where do they live? And what ethnic groups do we have in County Durham? You know, George and I live in Eshwinning, and sometimes we say to each other, gosh, I felt more at home in Turkey than I do here. It was quite a culture shock for us to come to that village. Yesterday, a big moving van came up to the house next door. And after a year, the house has been sold for a year, they've moved in. And someone told us, oh, it's a couple from the south. So I immediately thought, oh, that's good. But, you know, why did I think that? So we've got people living right amongst us who are not like us. And somehow we don't think about, well, who are they? And are they people who need Jesus?
The problem is that most non-Christians are not culturally near any Christians. It will take a special kind of cross-cultural evangelism to reach them.
Yeah. Well, that explains itself, really.
At least 4 out of 5 non-Christians in the world today are beyond the reach of any Christian's E1 evangelism.
Okay, we'll come on to that later, about E1 evangelism. E1 evangelism, basically, is evangelizing the people who sit in the back seats of your church. Or the ones who don't come, yes, just like you, yes. The ones that don't come very often. And we all have a responsibility to reach out to those people. But that's E1.
E1 is powerful, but E3 is essential.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
And then the last one. Are we prepared for the fact that most non-Christians yet to be won to Christ might not fit readily into the kind of churches we now have?
Are we ready for that? This is a wonderful church. But I can't see this church in a Central Asian village. And one of the accusations has been made about Western missionaries is that we take our customs and our ways of doing things with us. And maybe that's the reason why things have been so slow in some nations, that we have not been prepared to leave our pet ways of doing things behind and making church fit the culture to which we are going. So all these things are challenges, really, that we have to think about. And so with that, I'm finished.
So